as Elizabeth noted, with the Office of Government Relations, most of CBO's budget is personnel, so there really isn't any place to go for a 5% reduction that besides an analyst position. As I've noted earlier and in prior years, you know, reducing an analyst position does reduce CBO's capacity to do overall budget analysis and special projects. I want to stress that for 18-19, it may be even more difficult to absorb because of the brass replacement project and because of that realignment internally of staff to work on that project. I'm already using some of those analytical resources for the software implementation, which would make it more challenging. As a result, we did propose and, in fact, recommend an alternative cut, and it's a lower amount, but a $40,000, which would eliminate that Hatfield Fellow position. As I mentioned, I'm hesitant to lose that valuable position, but if savings are needed, this is a better place to take than a full-time analyst, in my view. In terms of requests, the primary request that I'm putting on the table this year is for a new capital coordinator position. I want to stress this isn't a request for new general fund resources. What instead we're asking for is to realign $150,000 of Build Portland's resources to fund a position that will help coordinate the city's capital budgeting efforts overall. As you heard me say this morning, over the last few years, CBO and the city as a whole have made really substantial progress in terms of how we prioritize and allocate capital dollars. We've allocated $60 million through the capital set-aside. We've created criteria that help us rank projects across bureaus based on risk factors and the impact of failure. We've developed a list of funding options to increase capital funding throughout the city for major maintenance and reserves. And we've increased internally our own monitoring of bureau capital budgets. And I've been able to do that by pulling analysts off of other budget work. However, I think if we use some of this Build Portland funding for this position, we can really take this effort to the next level. And when I talked about where we need to go as a city, funding of this position would allow us to achieve a lot of the things that I mentioned in that earlier infrastructure presentation. It would allow us to get better data and work with city bureaus on that data and condition assessment. It would allow us to take our prioritization even beyond the risk assessment that we've been doing towards a business case model. And finally, I think it would allow us to keep the gap from growing even further. I really think Portland has an opportunity right now with this mayor and this council to be an example for other cities that it is possible to make progress on these capital budgets. It's possible to make progress on our infrastructure backlog, even without the federal support that has been integral in the past. Obviously, the federal support would go a long ways, and I'm still hopeful that we may see some of that in the future. But even without that, we have a responsibility to make as much progress as we can, and I think we have an opportunity. Bottom line for this request, it doesn't compete with other general fund requests, but it would require a small reduction in Build Portland spending. And if council wanted to move forward, we could talk about that impact and what it would mean. I personally think the benefit of the position would outweigh any of the costs that we're talking about for that. The second package that we did not recommend, but not because I don't think it's needed, but just in terms of overall general fund availability, this would be to add the citywide survey, restart the citywide survey. This is a survey that's been done for more than 20 years by the auditor's office. The auditor did cut this survey last year as part of her budget, so we are no longer, as a city, doing this. We're not collecting data on citywide performance and what residents of the city think in terms of how we're doing. The survey measured the public perception of city government. We would really propose to reboot that survey, asking a lot of the same questions so we can continue some of that longitudinal data, but developing new questions that could help us understand how the city's doing to meet the needs of the public, and working with the OEHR as well to how making sure we've got questions in there that really get at some of the equity issues that we're facing as a city. As I mentioned, we didn't recommend the $60,000, but I do think it's something worth considering as council moves through the process.
Andrew, a quick question on that. How long can we go without a survey before we lose the trend line and the statistical significance of the data? Yeah. Are we looking at one more year out before we'd have to redo a whole survey and start over?
I think it's a good question. I think if we asked the questions in the same way, even a couple years later, you could still look back at some of that longitudinal data. One of the other things we really want to look at is how the survey is collected. In the past, it was collected through a mail, sending out mail. And there are some issues there in terms of selection bias. And the auditor was aware of those and addressed them. But there are other tools and techniques in terms of gathering information we might want to use.
Commissioner Fritz had a question.
Well, on the same lines, I don't
know that there is really a trend because of the selection bias. And in your write-up, you say that you don't recommend the package because of the very recent decision by council to accept the cut from the auditor as an indicator of relative priority to other citywide issues. That wasn't why I voted for that cut. It was because I think it's not a representative survey. And so I would favour having some money in the, certainly as a one-time pilot, for a scientific poll, not a survey, and not using the same questions, but something that we could actually rely on with oversampling of underrepresented communities to find out what people actually care about and want. So that would be my hope for having a better gauge of community. I mean, we do polls for all kinds of things, if we want to pass a bond measure, if we want to get re-elected. And I have found those polls, especially on issues, to be surprisingly accurate and sometimes surprising in terms of what people want and what they don't want. So that's the direction that I would suggest we go in.
I appreciate that. And we convened some bureaus just on an informal basis to see if there was interest, and the bureaus that use this data said they really are missing it, but they all sort of echoed what you said, is they think there are different and better ways. So if we were to move forward with a survey again, we would certainly get a work group together, cross bureau, that really looked at what data we need to collect, the best way to do it, and avoid some of the problems we had.
I would suggest actually what you want is politicians who are, as I say, quite adept at working with pollsters to figure that out. And there's professional people who know how to do it and what kinds of questions to ask. So I would certainly encourage, we need to have bureau input into what kinds of data do they want. We also actually need to know what does the community want, whether the bureaus want to know it or not.
Right. So may I ask you, if I may? I believe this project is very important because it provides a performance measure for bureaus. And this is an opportunity because the influence that the city budget office has on bureaus is also another reason I'm recommending, moving forward with this project. So if the city budget office asks for performance measures, bureaus follow that very quickly. So.
I'll just wrap up, and I won't spend time on this slide, but I did want to note some of the other CBO work that's going on. We are engaged in a lot of other things outside of what I mentioned in terms of budget analysis and forecasting and so forth, and I do plan to bring a report back to Council in April or May that describes in more detail some of the things we've been doing. This really is part of our overall mission, right, which is to optimize the value of city services. That's why we do budgeting. That's why we go through this process. And related to that, some of the things we've been doing, international benchmarking of data, helping bureaus doing randomized control study trials to see how well their programs are working, the Government Accountability, Transparency, and Results Program, which I think we've seen some really positive results coming from. We've run two different cohorts of peak process improvement training in the bureaus. I think almost 40 city employees have been trained through that process to go back and make changes in their bureaus to their processes. And finally, I don't want to forget the Portland Utility Board. The staff person for that is located in CBO, and so we are involved with that process as well. With that, I will take any questions.
Rob?
Well, as a member of the BAC for the CBO, I just wanted to say that I think that a high-quality survey poll of the kind that I would expect that office to develop in concert with other bureaus would meet the city's needs, and not having one puts you in a place where you don't have any data related to the kind of questions that you were asking about before. So I would speak in favor of that, taking off my citywide hat, putting on my CBO back member hat. And also, we've talked about the Hatfield Fellow Program for years. I think CBO is in recommending the cut in their own bureau to the Hatfield Fellow. I don't know if that's quite a Washington Monument, but it does add such value at such a reasonable cost. I'm not really sure I agree with the CBO's analysis that that's a good cut.
How many of our Hatfield Fellows have gone on to work with the city?
I don't know the answer to that. I know three of my Hatfield Fellows have gone on, two in my office and one in the city attorney's office, but we can ask HR because they centrally coordinate the contract.
I'd like to know that, and also the demographics of the people hired.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's a great question, and it's one, to be really blunt, that the Hatfield program at PSU has worked really hard to diversify. When they started the program, it was not as diverse as I think they wanted it to be, and certainly not as diverse as we wanted it to be, and I've pushed the folks, you know, at PSU, and they are obviously don't need to be pushed. They wanted to do it as well, and I think the last two classes have been considerably more diverse. That's really a focus of their program.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Commissioner Saltzman.
Putting back on your CBO hat, I guess I wanted to make a request of you, and I know we've done this in past budgets, you know, taking a look at vacancies in the bureaus. And so I was wondering if we could get, like, a list by bureau of vacancies that have been in existence for 6 months or longer.
Yes.
And then I guess my related question to that is, what if we just didn't appropriate money for a position that's been vacant 6 months or longer? How would that improve our budget situation? So if you could ponder that and give us...
Yeah, we can get the data in terms of vacancies and length of time they've been vacant, and then we can do a financial analysis of how much is budgeted for those positions. Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty straightforward.
Thanks.
Good.
Just wanted to add, Commissioner Saltzman, I have asked Director Summers McGee for an analysis like that too, so we'll get it to you.
It's a good ask, Commissioner. Thank you. All right, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.